I have good news. Good news, Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. This is exciting news because we're almost there. Almost there. Jesus is coming again soon, and we're almost there. I am so excited about this. I wonder how those people back in Haggai's day felt about this temple they were building and the idea that the glory of that temple was going to be greater than the former. Do you think they had a clue as to what that meant? That Jesus was coming the first time for them? Do you think they had a clue? God was trying to tell them. He was trying to bring it to them. He was trying to let them know, but Nebuchadnezzar had sacked the city, taken a bunch of people off. I mean, just tens of thousands of people hauled off to Babylon. Jeremiah had told them in Jeremiah 29, verses 4 and 5, that they were going to be there for a while. You remember how long? 70 years, that's right, exactly, 70 years. And he had told them, go ahead, settle in, it's going to be a while. Now the problem was, is after they had settled in, they didn't want to listen to the next part of what Jeremiah said in chapter 29. In verse 10, he said, but you're going to come back to this place. By the time they had settled in there, they didn't want to go anywhere. They were happy being exiles. What? Yeah. They were happy being exiles. And they didn't want to hear about the end of it. They were comfortable. They were good. We're doing fine here. Hey, we're able to witness, aren't we? We'll tell people here about God. Right? And so when God called them back, only a small portion came back. It was 42,000, if you look back, 42,360 are about what came back. At least that's what the record tells us. 42,000. What did we just hear this morning Adventist membership in the Florida Conference? 50,000. Over 50,000. Less than the Florida Conference's worth of Jews went back to their homeland. Can you imagine? Only those few. And they had a task. Do you remember what their job was when they got back? To rebuild the temple, right? Their job was to rebuild the temple. When these exiles were called back, their job was to rebuild the temple. Haggai was one of the prophets that tried to encourage them in this work of rebuilding the temple. What about today? Do you know what 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says? You remember 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5? It says, you, the church, you are lively stones. Living stones, if you will. You are a living example of what was going on back in Haggai's day. You are lively stones being built up, Peter tells us, into a spiritual house. Into a spiritual house. In other words, you are the living temple. You are the living temple being built up, a spiritual house for God. And in fact, You know, John the Baptist was to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord, right? And in this last days, John the Baptist was a precursor of what you are, building up the house. So it's kind of a little mix there, right? Fred, how many doors have you had that have installed themselves? Not too many, I guess, huh? But that's our job. We are the living stones that are building up the house with other living stones. We're working on building each other up a spiritual house. Now, that's not to say that we're anything special. Clearly, it's God's power, right? But we have a part to play, unlike Fred's doors, who just are there and they get built. And sometimes we are like that. We want to sit around and be fed. We want to sit around and be built. We want to sit and be taught. We want to be built up. That's part of it. But also we are building God's people, preparing a people for the coming of the Lord. But how do you see the church today? Turn with me to Haggai. Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. Are you with me? Hard to find, sorry. It's between the Z's, as she mentioned this morning. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. It is between the Z's. So if you find Zephaniah, it's just the next book. Or if you find Zechariah, it's the one before. And it's near the end. It's near the end of the Bible, or end of the Old Testament, I should say. So maybe you want to find Matthew and then turn like three books back. Maybe that'd be easier, huh? Because most of us can find Matthew pretty easy. So if you find Matthew, turn back just a couple of three books, you'll find it. Not to say that Haggai's snoozing because he's between the Z's, but Haggai chapter 2, are you with me? Haggai chapter 2, verse 3. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 3. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? How many of you have been Adventists for more than 10 years? Hold your hands up. I want to see them. More than 10 years. Hold them up there. All right? Keep them up. Keep them up if it's been more than 20 years. Keep them up if it's been more than 30 years. Keep them up if it's more than 40 years. I got to put my hand down now. More than 50 years. Oh, man, look at this. Look at this. More than 50 years. Look at this. You're telling on yourselves, aren't you? No. You've been more than 50 years? Wow. How do you look like that so well? That's pretty good, man. There are some of us who've been in this church for years and years and years. And I want to ask you the question that we find here in verse 3. Because if we are the lively stones, a spiritual house, I want you to think about this spiritual house. How does it look to you? How does it look to you? Because I've heard some people say, well, it's not like it used to be. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? How do you see it now? There are those who, when the foundation of the second temple was laid, they praised the Lord. Yes, God is among His people. He's building up His house. God is blessing. And there were others who wept and cried loudly Oh, how awful it is. This is not like it used to be. It's not what it was. The glory, Ichabod, has departed. Which is it? You see, the people had trouble as they listened, because there were some who were shouting praises to the Lord. Praise God. After all of the destruction, God is rebuilding His temple. And there were others who were wailing so much that the sound was mingled and it was difficult to tell what was going on. And people out away from the goings-on there were going, what's happening? What's going on? Are we praising the Lord or are we crying? Is it good or is it bad? Is it right or is it wrong? Should I cheer or should I boo? I don't know what to do. I don't know where we're going. I don't know how it's working. How is it? What was it like? What was it like back then? You see, that first temple was a temple that was magnificent in scale, wasn't it? Tremendously huge place with gold everywhere. And almost as though it were not worth anything, silver was just practically laying around like dust. The sea, they called it the sea. The place out front where the priests would wash was so huge that just the brim of it, as it went around, the brim of it was as wide as your hand. Huge thing. Gigantic. It was like a swimming pool. Yes, quite large. It was glorious to behold. Wonderful. And as people saw this next temple come up, they thought, what a letdown. How could it be? How can we honor God with this? Because there was no gold around. It was just stone, bare rock. Nothing was there. No great ornaments. No fine tapestries. No huge sea out front. No giant place for offering. Had nothing. Sometimes we're tempted to look at the church like that and think, boy, it's not like it was when I grew up in it. And it's not. That's for sure. Things have changed, haven't they? And a number of people would say it's changed not for the better. Let's look at Scripture again. Because we want to keep our eyes on what the Lord has to say, yes? Let's read on. Verse 4. Yet now, God is saying, be strong. Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. And be strong, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong. How many? All. Not half. Not the half that didn't see it. Not the half that was praising the Lord to begin with only. But all you people of the land, all of them, even the ones who saw the old temple in its glory, in its heyday, be strong. Be strong for what? What should we be strong for? Just keep the stiff upper lip and say, well, you know, this ain't much, but we'll still be here. Is that what it's all about? Just hanging on? I know when I joined this church, I got on the right horse, and I'm going to ride it through, however gaunt and however draggled and however swaybacked it is. I'm going to stay on this horse until I'm done. Is that what we're doing? We're just hanging on. What does it say? And be strong, all of you people of the land, says the Lord, and what? Work! Work! We're to be building that temple. We're to be building that temple. And work for why? Why should we do this? For I am with you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Praise God. He has chosen to be with us even when we aren't all that we should be. Even when our praise and our glory to Him isn't all that it maybe should be, God is with us. Now, is He with us whether we're doing right or doing wrong? Of course not. No. That's not it, of course. In fact, it says that these people that were there with Him, they had a problem at first. Take a look back one chapter. Chapter 1, are you with me? Chapter 1 and verse 2. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Is it time for God's people to be building the spiritual house now? Amen. Is it time for us to give the last day message to the world? Amen. Is it time for us to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord? Amen. You see, it's time for us always to do the work of the Lord, isn't it? Is it time for us to lament that things aren't the way they ought to be? So he says in verse 2, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to be in ruins? Is that what time it is? Is it time for us? Is it time for us to make sure that we have all of our retirement in row? To make sure we have all of our stuff in line, that our stuff is all taken care of, that we are doing our work when we leave the work of God undone. Is that what time it is? It's cool on Sabbath morning to sit and say, yes, it's time to work on the Lord's work. But what about Sunday morning at 10 o'clock? When it's time to address envelopes. What about Monday evening when you could knock on your neighbor's door and hand them a brochure about prophecies decoded? Is it time then to work on the house of the Lord? When is it time to work on the house of the Lord? Now. Absolutely. Now is the time. You see, we can't say on one side, yes, now's the time, and then with our actions do something different. Because then we get that confusion going on too, and people don't know what to believe. They hear one thing, they hear another thing, they don't know. It's confusion. We can't go there. We can't go there. Look at verse 12, chapter 1, still in chapter 1 for a moment, verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the priest, the high priest, and all the remnant of the people obeyed. What did they do? They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke. The Lord's message to the people, the Lord's message to the people, the Lord's message to the people saying, I am with you. Wow, is that awesome or what? You see, as soon as they stepped out in faith, as soon as they said, this ain't what it ought to be, but it's the best we can do. It's following God today. It's what God has asked us to do today, not yesterday, not tomorrow, today. What the Lord has asked us to do today, then God immediately, right then, God says, I'm with you. I'm with you. Go, go, go. I'm with you. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. God wants to bless so badly. He's sitting, I just get this picture of God on the edge of his throne in heaven, just sitting there waiting to bless, waiting to pour out on us so much that we can't have room to receive it, but we've got to put him first. It's simple as that, folks. Simple as that. We've got to put him first. There is no other way. As soon as we say God's work is more important than my work, then the blessing will be there. You see, that former temple was glorious because it had all the trappings. It had all the trappings. It had the gold. It had the silver. It had the huge bronze basin. It had all the good stuff. Except the presence of Jesus. This second temple, look at it, chapter 2. Chapter 2 now, are you with me? Chapter 2 and verse 7. And I will shake all nations. Sounds like something that's coming up with the second coming, doesn't it? And they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill the old temple? No, I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Brothers and sisters, do we want this temple filled with glory? Amen. And I don't mean, I mean, right? Do we want this temple filled with glory? You see, that former temple had all the outward appearance of being exactly what God wanted, but it was still destroyed because it wasn't really on the inside. Jesus wasn't there. Not that the Shekinah wasn't there, but it had left the people's hearts, not their building. Yet. But it was destroyed because it had all that stuff on the outside. Brothers and sisters, this second temple would have Jesus walk its very courts. And in that, it was greater than the first, yes? Much more glorious. You see, it wasn't about silver and gold, it was about Jesus, wasn't it? And that's true for us too. Do you remember the days when in Sabbath school we used to say, and how many pieces of literature did you give out? And how many pieces of clothing did you distribute this week? Do you remember those days? Had all the good stuff. Is that bad stuff? No. Praise the Lord for what he did. But you know what? It didn't get us to heaven, did it? Or else we would already be there. Right? We're looking for the presence of Jesus. We're looking for the Lord to inhabit this temple, to fill it with the glory of God on the inside, not the gold on the outside. If you want to hang on to gold, you probably won't be able to hang on to Jesus. Did I just say that out loud? Maybe that's a little too far, huh? A little too far out there. Because if you look at verse 8, look what it says. Chapter 2, verse 8. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Wait, wait. In verse 7, He's talking about Jesus coming and filling the temple with the glory. In verse 9, he's talking about the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. And then stuck right in the middle, he starts talking about silver and gold. What's that all about? What is that? He was trying to tell us it's not about silver and gold. If you are not willing to give up your silver and gold, you will not have that glory, it sounds like to me. Am I wrong? Because we can't hold on to both at once. We've got to be willing to look past this glory of the wonderful things, even if they were things that we counted each Sabbath morning. And you know I'm not against those things. I'm saying they're not where it's at first. They're where it's at second. Right? Because we've got to be filled with the glory of God. And then those things have real meaning. Because what I hear Haggai saying here is in verse 4, be strong, be strong, be strong three times. Be strong. And then he says, go back home and relax all week and come back next week for Sabbath and be strong, be strong, be strong. Is that what he's saying? Isn't that what he says in verse 4? No. He says, be strong, be strong, be strong, and work. God wants us to be partners with Him. And when we choose to take that, maybe it's just the tiniest step, but it's a little step of faith forward for God and say, God, I don't know what to do with this brochure, man, but I'm going to go knock on a door. Maybe that's like totally scary for you. Maybe just mentioning it to someone freaks you out. But when you decide to make that choice, when you decide to take that step, when you decide to put your faith in God, immediately He's there and saying, I'm with you. He's been sitting on the edge of His seat waiting to be with you. He wants to be with you so badly. He wants to go with you to bring strength to your work, to help you, to guide you, to be there for you in all of these things. God is looking to help us do this because Jesus is coming again. Just a little test to see if you were still between the Z's. Jesus is coming again, and brothers and sisters, He wants to fill this temple. You see, it's not even about buildings anymore, whether they're great or whether they're a disappointment. It's not about buildings, it's about people. We're building people. It's about building a people ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. He wants to fill this temple with His glory. He wants His Holy Spirit to come into us, to be in us when we go out, when we talk with people. He's calling you to this work. He's calling you today to this work. We have an opportunity to go out for Him, to witness for Him. Do I think... Let me be real. Let me be honest with you for just a second. Do I think for a minute that asking you to come here 5 nights a week for 2 hours every night is easy? Do I think that's going to be easy for you? Nope. Not at all. I think it's going to be a tough row to hoe. Absolutely. I understand that. But I'm also telling you that when you step out in faith, God will be with us. He's there for us. As we go to our neighbors, as we go to our friends, as we go to our relatives, as we go to those we count most dear and say, I want you to be a part of the building with me, God will be with you. He will bless you and bring you through. It won't be easy, but God is with you. He's calling on you to do this work. And so, the words of Haggai are so appropriate for us today. He's just waiting for you and I to step forward and do what he's asked, to step forward in faith, to be strong, and work. And his promise is, I'll be with you. I will be with you. Praise God for his promise to be with us. We can participate. We can be blessed by that. Do you want that blessing? Praise God. Then be strong and work.